The Record Spinning on KUOW, I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm Ross Reynolds. If you've heard about North Korea this week, it likely has to do with former NBA star Dennis Rodman. He's back in North Korea for another so-called basketball diplomacy tour. The Worm, as his nickname would have it, raised eyebrows this week when, during an interview with CNN, Rodman refused to voice support for Linwood resident Kenneth Bae, who's been imprisoned in North Korea for more than a year.
Do you understand what he did?
What did he do? You
in
tell
this
me.
Country.
You tell me. What did he do?
No. You tell me. You tell me. Why is he held captive?
They haven't released any charges. They haven't released. They haven't released any reasons.
Let me do this.
That was Rodman. He apologized for those comments later. He said he was drunk. To get the latest on what's happening in North Korea, we turn to Charles Armstrong, professor of Korean studies at Columbia University. Hi, Charles.
Hi.
The U.S. has a long tradition of sports and cultural figures engaging in citizen diplomacy. Is Dennis Rodman any good at this?
He doesn't seem to be. He's really being a free agent here. In the past, the U.S. government has worked with sports and cultural figures for reaching out to countries which did not have good relations with the U.S., but Rodman is doing this on his own, and I have to say, not doing a very good job of it. It's unfortunate because he could have done some very important work in improving relations between the U.S. and North Korea, but his latest trip seems to be a bit counterproductive.
Do we know if the U.S. government is actually trying to work through Rodman to make a link to the North Korean government, because Rodman is singing happy birthday to the Supreme Leader?
I don't think the U.S. government would have authorized him to sing happy birthday to the leader. I'm aware that U.S. is trying to get intelligence from Rodman about his trips. He's one of the few Americans to have that kind of access and the only one to have met Kim Jong-un so far. But it doesn't seem to be something that the U.S. is actually actively promoting, at least as far as I know.
How does the U.S. talk to Korea or communicate with North Korea, one of the most isolated countries in the world?
Well, the main way, there are a number of places that the U.S. and U.S. and North Korean diplomats have met in various third countries at conferences and meetings. But the main way is through what's called the New York Channel, which is right here, because the North Korean government has a diplomatic mission at the United Nations, and the U.S. does as well. So they're able to communicate when they need to in New York, and occasionally North Korean diplomats are able to also go down to Washington, but that's very low-key. We don't hear very much about it.
Do we know anything about what the United States officially has been doing to secure Kenneth Bae's release?
There has been work behind the scenes. I'm not privy to the inside information on this, and it's certainly an issue of great concern to the U.S. government, and the State Department has made a number of statements about this. But what has been done in the past when other Americans have been held captive has been a number of occasions that high-ranking Americans, former President Bill Clinton, for example, have gone to North Korea and secured their release. This happened when the two journalists were imprisoned a number of years ago in this case. But so far that has not happened, and Kim Jong-un has said explicitly that he is not going to use Kenneth Bae as a bargaining chip to get a high-level diplomatic visit. So we're pretty much stymied, it seems, right now.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un recently executed his uncle, who was a former member of his inner circle. Is that customarily how North Korea deals with personnel issues?
Well, there's plenty of execution and imprisonment and purges of high-ranking leaders, but this is a little bit unusual. There's never been someone that close to the inner circle in the North Korean leadership apparatus who has been publicly denounced and then executed in this way. So it seems to indicate that either Chang Sung-taek, Kim Jong-un's uncle, really was up to something quite threatening to the regime, or that Kim Jong-un is a particularly ruthless leader, even by the standards of North Korea, which are pretty high when it comes to ruthlessness.
Charles, North Korea is accused of flagrant human rights abuses, slave labor, forced abortions, infanticide in prison camps. Amnesty International estimates that hundreds of thousands of North Koreans are held in detention facilities where torture is rampant and execution is commonplace. Where's the international outrage over this persistent mistreatment, which has been going on for 50 years?
Well, there's a couple of problems with addressing this. One is it's difficult really to get concrete information, although we have a lot of accounts now of defectors and others who have left North Korea. But no one from the outside really has access to observing the situation on the ground in North Korea, and so the government has consistently denied that these things go on. The other issue is what can really be done concretely to address this? What kind of pressure can be put on North Korea? This is already a country undergoing some of the most strict sanctions that the U.S. and the international community have, and they have not even admitted, much less done anything to address the issues of human rights violations. So it seems to me, at least, that the only way we can make progress is to get that country to open up a little bit more so that we can get a better sense of what is going on and get North Korea into a position where pressure might actually have some effect.
Charles Armstrong, professor of Korean studies at Columbia University, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
This is The Record on KUOW.